Welcome to the Deep Waters Podcast.
We pray to you, Jesus, that we may be a community that cultivates a heaven on earth reality to reveal your beauty, love, and redemptive power. Awaken us, your people, to our identity as royal priests. Teach us to minister to you with pure adoration, to one another with humble devotion, and to our world with incarnational faith. Amen.
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 Grab an iced tea on these 90-degree days. Mm-hmm. Not a hot tea. I'm making the wrong choice here.
Oh, shoot.
And enjoy the Deep Waters Podcast.
I'll be honest. I don't even know how to make iced tea. Do you like steep it in really hot water first and then pour it over ice?
Yeah, I think so. My parents always did sun tea. Did you grow up having sun tea at all?
I just do Crystal Light. Just pour it yeah. right into the stuff.
It just steeps all together instantly.
Yep, I drink stevia, everyone listening. So
oh, my word.
Let's hope I don't get cancer.
All right, well, we know what to pray for moving forward.
Yeah. This explains so much.
Among other things.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, Jace. And hi, Jordan.
Hello, my guys.
We're so glad to have you on the podcast.
I'm glad I made it back. It's been a while, so I thought I might have lost my invite to the Deep Waters Podcast.
No.
Oh, if it were up to us, we'd have you on here maybe weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not weekly, but yeah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
This is a fun platform for us to get a little window into some things that you're seeing from your leadership level that we don't get to hear when you're preaching on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to discuss a little bit more. The goal of the podcast today, listener, is to hear from Jordan on what his role has looked like since he's been traveling a bit more consistently, and hear some testimonies of places that he's gone, communities and other leaders that he's connected with, and how the cross-pollinization of the kingdom of God is taking place. And we're getting to benefit from that all the time at Riverhouse, but we don't have the same like view of it that you have, Jordan.
Sure.
So it's going to be really fun to hear. Hear some testimony. Did I say that right? How do you feel like you would define your role as it's sort of shifted from just the typical lead pastor that a person might think of in an American church?
Yeah, you know, I think probably every church has different molds for what a lead pastor looks like, but I think there is a kind of a traditional understanding where you more function as the local shepherd of the church, and you're doing more of the meetings, you know, with the parishioners, you know, the congregants.
Yeah.
And, I think we've more taken the approach of how do we build leadership roles around the leadership grace that God's given, you know, and we've talked about fivefold. We've talked about fivefold on this podcast and stuff. And mm-hmm. So, at an elder level, we just, you know, are always kind of listening to the Holy Spirit and how do we build around, you know, the strengths expressed, you know, from the top down. And so, yeah, we went in through a number of, you know, a lot of the prophetic stuff that was spoken from like Richard Gordon's and others. There was a whole season where it was, felt like about once a week, we're getting a new word. You're going to be sent out and travel and come and go. And it was like, when is this going to happen? You know, and then it was about 2 years of like, This is weird. When, like, what is this all going to mean and whatever? And so, yeah, over about the last year, I think that started to materialize. And, you know, it was somewhat of a, like a faith journey, because it was a new mold for me. I think one of the things that we often underestimate is how much we get formed by like our church experience growing up. Like we kind of just like that's standard of what we think is normal. And so imagining what it looks like to be still the senior leader of a church, but then be traveling a lot, you're just like, mm-hmm. I've got to like get my grid around this. So, you know, the Bible's a good place to start. And one of the things that was helpful for me was actually in, I think it's Acts 6, where the deacons first get empowered, is the apostles are recognizing how the ministry is growing. and there's legitimate complaints, legitimate needs, and they seek the Lord and they're like, hey, it's not good for us to basically take on this responsibility of serving all these tables and these widows, mm-hmm. like, which sounds a little shocking because you're like, well, Jesus came to serve, not be served, you know,
right?
How dare his leaders now say it's not good for us to not serve the tables. And I don't think that they were saying we're not called to serve as much as they were saying this is beyond our scope of what God's calling us to do. Mm-hmm. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in prayer. And they started empowering and delegating. You see how they start creating an ecosystem. And that verse actually broke some of this like kind of false responsibility on me of like things to let go. And so I'm rambling now, but basically we've moved more and more to really build our ecosystem around, you know, myself. I'm usually in the pulpit, you know, 2 to 3 times a month. Mm-hmm. And then I've probably been traveling anywhere from, it depends on the month, but mm-hmm. you know, up to like 10 days in a month, which just, it's just a lot, wow. you know? And then there's been a couple of weeks, months where preaching to other places in a month or something like that. And so, this wasn't a quick thing, I guess, is yeah. for the listener to mm-hmm. hear, is like, we've had to kind of build and orient the ecosystem around that from a congregational level, from a staff level. But ultimately I think it's because we believe that there is, if we're following the grace of the Holy Spirit, that's the best for everyone. And that's how the whole ecosystem will flourish. Yeah. So
that's good.
Excellent.
In light of this last week's sermon, or I guess I'm not sure when this will come out, but when Jacob Roinas preached, mm-hmm. He talked about this threshold moment, taking a big risk, those yeah, kinds of yeah. things. Do you feel like there was any of those moments in this kind of apostolic call and like stepping out? Like what, like, can you talk about if there was that yeah, threshold? Sure. What did that feel like?
Well, in December of 2022. Yeah, so right before 2023, I felt the Lord say, you need to give, you know, like half the pulpit away, mm-hmm. which at that point I had words that like, oh, you're going to be traveling and itinerating more. You know, and I don't really believe in self-promotion, so I don't get a word like that and be like, well, let's text everybody I mm-hmm. know and like get some speaking gigs totally. Or something. Yeah, it good. Was like, well, if the Lord wants that, then, you know, he'll send invitations, but mm-hmm. we're just doing our thing here in little old Idaho. So I don't know how it's going to happen. Right. And, mm-hmm. so this is before there'd really been no doors open. The Lord said, give half the pulpit away. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Like, with, you know, like that's like my main job, you know, as far as at least from like in the life of the in the eyes of the congregation, that's right. That's how I touch, people facing the most. So yeah, that was a risk threshold. You know, how's the church going to respond? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to get upset. You know, for the mm-hmm. listener, I really don't like the mindset of like, oh, I'm so bummed that Pastor Jordan's not preaching because, you know, I like him and I like, it's like, we're not coming to church for Pastor Jordan's yeah. sermon, I hope. Mm-hmm. We're coming for Jesus. So that's a whole nother topic. We can do another podcast about that. but you know, that deal. Was a risk threshold of letting go. And, you know, it's really hard to let go of something that you love and that you like, it brings me joy. There's a sense of purpose, and to let it go with like,
yeah,
like, okay. So that felt like a risk threshold. There were some, you know, like even, there's some relationships that are significant relationships in my life now, but like that came, like there was a couple times I felt like the Lord said just to go places, mm-hmm. like no speaking gigs or whatever. And it was like, I'm just supposed to go.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember we went on this one trip and I'm like, why am I here? Like, mm-hmm. what am I doing? And all I ended up doing was having one lunch meeting for the whole trip. And that lunch was with Darren Runzen, who now yeah. I'm like, oh, this mm-hmm. is why I went. But like, literally I'm like, why am I down in Orange County right now?
Wow.
Like I knew I was supposed to be there, but I was so like, I'm here, you know? And so, and in saying all of this, these were risks mm-hmm. that were processed mm-hmm. at the elder level. So yeah. I'm not like making these decisions in independence. I'm like, here's what I'm discerning, you know? And they were really like great and encouraging and blessing. Cause they're like, look, we have the prophetic word of the Lord and we need to act on the prophetic word of the Lord. So it's interesting. It was a year of acting in faith and walking out on these things mm-hmm. before any doors started opening. Mm-hmm. And then it was like doors just have just started opening and they're just continuing to open. more and more churches and more places. And it's exciting because it just feels like it's what the Lord had been ordaining. And it's been very organic. It's been of God. And it's not just, like transactional doors of the sense of like, hey, come preach this sermon, as much as it's like relationships are forming with other churches that have symbiotic expressions. And there's just a lot of, there's a lot in the mix from just a relational standpoint that feels holistic, and I think it's going to bear long-term fruit. So,
so good.
I've thought a number of times about how we operate as a non-denominational church without some kind of a denominational covering or church network or structure just inherent to our ecclesiology. But I feel like what's beautiful about all of this apostolic movement lately is we're starting to cultivate, like you say, relationships with symbiotic sister churches that are really helping us understand, what does the road ahead look like for a church with a similar call on its congregation as ours, even a few years down the road from where we're at? And I think we see that, would you say, in some of our partner churches like Garden?
Yeah, I'd say Garden and Table, the Table in Boston, you know, there is a sense of it's like a sibling type relationship that's been very organic, that has come from just being in time with Julian and Katia's time with Darren and Alex and their team. And the more time we get, it's been space for just trust and just natural affinity and love and affection to grow. And yes, I very much see, you learn from each other, because every church has like strengths and weaknesses. And as we've got to like rub shoulders more, you just learn so much. And it's so activating when you're in environments, because, you know, you see things with fresh eyes when you're the outsider and you're like, wow, I've never thought of that before. Like, that's so different than what we've done. And yet, so it exposes you in those ways. And it's been really cool that, particularly with both those churches, they have very similar origin stories to ours, in the sense of they just kind of were planted and have been figuring out who they are kind of like alone, and not necessarily knowing like where their tribe is or whatever. And so it's beautiful that coming from the vantage point of like, because I think the weak spot of denominations is that they tended to morph, like, instead of being built around relationship, they're built around like doctrine, typically would be the typical model. So it kind of makes it like kind of hard and fast. Like, well, if you believe this, you're in the club. And so everybody kind of thinks the same way, does the same thing. And then they split when it gets too divided or whatever. And I would say what's forming between like us and Garden, what's us and Table, and, you know, God willing, like more places in the time to come, it would be, it's built on trust. It's built on grace. It's built on a desire to be influenced. And that excites me, you know. And so, and Riverhouse benefits from that, because we're getting seated at a staff level. I'm getting things. But then, you know, and then, you know, Julian and Katia come and do a conference. And like, my goodness, you know, the fragrance of the Lord shows up. You know, Darren shows up and speaks. And it's like money's at our altar for the next 3 months every single Sunday. You know, Darren will be here in July again, you know. Julian will be here in September. Darren and Julian serve as advisors to our board. So we're getting exposed to so much more. And it's just like, relationships are the catalyst, I think, of kingdom advancement. Like, God works through relationships. So
hallelujah,
we all benefit so much. So like, even in a year and a half since this, I'm like, it kind of blows my mind, like how much has taken place. And so it's good to talk about this, because I don't think the congregation gets to see this all, but a lot of what I'm doing in these travels, yes, I'm going and I'm exporting, but then you come back with these sticky relationships, and then I get to bring people. And then one of the other cool things is like, God said this year, all your travel, don't travel alone. Like, go out two by two, bring people. And so I've started bringing teams from Riverhouse, and it's been so like wildly like activating for people. I was insecure to do it. So I'm like, people are going to pay like $1,000 to just like come with me, you know? Like, I was like, I feel insecure, like truly, like I battled like some insecurity, like leading. And then people be like, can I come again? Like, this is so activating. And I'm like, there is just a grace in the going, and it's part of how apostolic grace works, is it works on the road. It works in the movement. It builds and pioneers, but it's not River House hasn't lost. I think it's actually just like multiplying everything. Yeah. So I'm preaching now.
Yeah, oh, no, this is good.
I mean, I can just testify of just from the behind the scenes, there's just been so much acceleration with ideas and blueprints and game plans that I feel like I see what happens on Sundays and through conferences, all of very much tied together with all that too. You know, it's what's being brought back, activates something new in maybe a ministry or something. And I don't know. It's like, I definitely see that symbiotic relationship, and it's just to testify to that. It's really cool.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Like, I remember when you guys had Darren on this podcast, mm-hmm. I talked to him like a month or two later, and he was like, oh yeah, dude, we started doing this podcast at Garden. Cause like after I sat down with Jason Benji, I was like, this is such a good idea. We need to do something mm-hmm. like this. So, it's those little things like so that, cool. that are just little seed moments, mm-hmm. but they're so, you know, fruitful. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
I was on the phone just this morning with a person from Garden who's helping me construct the alpha course that we're going to be running this fall.
Oh,
case in point.
That's awesome. Case in point. Which,
so cool.
Alpha is coming.
And alpha is amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, see you there. I traced that back to literally, I did mm-hmm. an entire trip to Orange County. Like this is, I think Naomi was 6 months old. Me and Jackie and Naomi fly down to Orange County, and we're like, it rained the whole weekend. And we're like, why are we here? And the only thing that I really ended up doing was having lunch with Darren.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know? So mm-hmm. like, you're like, whoa. Uh-huh. Like, and then you're like, this is like the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like you go on these adventures sometimes. And I think it's not always like concretely why, like Philip's like, why do I need to go to the desert? You know, mm-hmm. and he follows the Spirit to the desert, and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch and shares the gospel and gets saved. Mm-hmm. And Ethiopia has one of the richest Christian traditions in all of Africa to this day. And people trace it because one dude took a trip to the desert and he didn't know why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel the Spirit on that, man.
Yeah,
we got to have ears to hear and heart to obey, because it doesn't always make sense.
Hallelujah.
And that's kind of part of the genius, I think, of apostolic ecosystem is you're like, why is it good for the senior leader of a church to go travel? And why is the elders mm-hmm. telling him to go? Like, they've blessed me to basically be gone up to 2 Sundays a month. Like, that's kind of mm-hmm. where we've discerned. Why does that make sense? That feels like we're losing. But mm-hmm. I'd say, like, in God's economy, it's actually the key to, like, the multiplicity.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could flesh out a lot of even practical ways of how I see that happening, but it's kind of the beauty of God's design. So.
Hallelujah. And one of the things I've observed too, and I don't know that this was an original motivation for it, but I think it's a consequence, is I think we're becoming more robust as a church because we're not dependent on you as a preacher, your personality in the pulpit. I think Tim Keller said, if a pastor is in the pulpit too consistently, it only takes about 7 years for the congregation to just become basically a collective copy of that pastor.
Hmm.
And you can see how churches like rise and fall on a senior leader, not even like a collective group of senior leadership.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for our commitment to sharing the pulpit, because I think it makes us a more robust fellowship in learning from different graces. Different communication styles have different things to bring. Like we saw that with Jacob Roynes, and mm-hmm. we see that when AJ and Megan and Justin or whoever are up there.
Benji.
Yeah. I was like, yourself.
And it's just such a privilege, I think, that we're not dependent on you in that way. I think that's part of even you discipling is to know when to go.
I've never heard that Keller quote before, but it makes so much sense. And I've always been a little bit hesitant of the cultures where everyone talks and looks like the lead pastor, you know, and has kind of this even the same vernacular, and like you're just like, this feels a little too, like, I know it's imitate me as I imitate Christ, but I don't think that's quite it.
Yeah.
You know, you like know that at an intuitive level, but that makes sense when you said that. And there is, it's almost like familiarity breeds contempt sometimes. And you end up, you almost like when things get too routinized, we go into autopilot with them. And so I'm just fresh saying this off of you, but I do think it's, we have to learn how to honor and glean and extract from different graces. I had somebody just recently come up to me. It was about another preacher in a church, and because I was out in the lobby greeting, and he's like, "Are you preaching?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Who is?" And I said, "Who is?" And he got so excited, and he was like fired up, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I love when this person preaches." And he's like, "To be honest with you, though," he's like, "I used to struggle. Like I used to struggle. Like I would get upset because I wanted to hear you preach. I didn't resonate with this person's voice as much." He's like, "And then the Lord started working on me." He's like, "And now," he's like, he starts getting emotional. He's like, "I get like so happy. Like I cannot wait to hear what he has to say, you know, da, 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 da." Wow. And so it was just like, it really blessed me. Cause I think that's part of what, like, that's a win for all of us as a culture. Cause I think we start to see more of like a Christ-centered Jesus culture, like a Jesus-centered culture, as opposed to, it's not about somebody's gift, you know? And it's not that we don't honor gifts, we do, but it's like, So that's really cool. That's a really cool perspective.
Amen. I've been really grateful for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of the maturity that I'm starting to see more and more in our congregation. So that's a cool testimony of it too.
Wow.
I'm curious, is it exhausting for you to travel that much, up to 10 days a month, as a, you know, a father of a young girl and a husband of...
Yeah, the really cool thing is that most of the travel has been Jackie and myself, and then sometimes Naomi. It's just
so
been
cool.
It's been really encouraging to us, because a lot of even the prophetic words that were offered were over Jackie and I. And so, like, the churches have been... they'll pay for both of us to come, and just, they're like, "We just want to honor you as a couple," which has been really neat. So that has, I say that only because that has mitigated, I think, some of the, at least the relational cost, because it's, you know, I mean, it's hard to travel with a toddler. We had one night this was last fall. We were ministering in Orange County. We ended up, like, our flight got delayed, so it was already, like, super late. We were landing at, like, 10:30. We had to do two flights to Orange County because Boise does not yet have a Delta direct to Orange County. So, please, if you're listening, just intercede for that. And Naomi is, like, losing her mind the last hour of the flight. She won't sleep. I'm, like, so tired. We land. We get the Uber to the house we're staying at. We have these beautiful, like, we have, like, OC parents that, like, host us. I think, Julie, you listen. So, shout out Rick and Julie. We love you.
Yay,
We finally, like, get to her house. It's like 11:30 at night. I'm like, "God, I am so excited to go to sleep." We put Naomi down and she just starts vomiting everywhere.
Oh no.
Like, I literally all over their, like, the rug in the bathroom. So I'm out at like 12:30 at night hosing off like all the vomit and stuff. And I was like, "Oh God," I was like, "itinerant ministry is the worst," you know, because there's always so much spiritual attack. It was another one of those trips. Walking into church, Naomi fell and dislocated her shoulder, and it was a whole, I mean, she was weeping through the whole church service. We had to take her out. We had to go straight to the hospital after service. It was a miracle. She ended up getting supernaturally healed in the ER waiting room. But, like, there's always a lot of warfare. Yeah. So that's a long answer to say, I would say that the itinerant ministry is about five times more costly and 50% less glamorous than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
To be honest with you. Like, to be honest, it sounds kind of sexy. Like, oh, you go. And, like, there's an aspect of itinerant ministry where you're kind of the outsider. Everybody's an expert when they're away from home. There's this anointing that will come that's so powerful. And, like, God, I mean, it's amazing. There are miracles almost every time we itinerate. Like, I mean, incredible things happening. God moves powerfully. And it's just... so you can see that and you're like, that sounds amazing. Yeah. And you're like, wow, it's been some of the most vulnerable. I've told people that I don't know that I've ever felt more vulnerable and, like, almost like exposed to my own insecurity in ways where I'm like, I literally will be like, I don't even know what I have to offer these people, which it's like, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Cause, like, I have pastored for 10 years. Like, I should be able to share something of worth, but it's like, I don't have anything. Is literally, it's like almost a gut wrenching feeling until it's like I step on and the anointing comes. And then it's like, I've never felt more powerful in my life. And then the anointing leaves and it's like, I don't have anything to offer these people. And I'm like, what is going on in me? And probably some of that is my own identity work and like being formed in this, because it feels in a way like, you know, pioneering a church, it was like you figure it out and it's kind of scary and you do things scared and you do things and it's hard and you don't really know what you're doing. It's really vulnerable. But as you like do it more, you start to grow in confidence because you're like, I've done this. You know, and a lot of this itinerating, that's kind of what it feels like. It's like another pioneering of a ministry because preaching here at River House, there's rapport. Like, you guys know me, I know you. You understand the context of where I speak from and how I speak. And so there's like, it's like you're a cross-cultural missionary. When you go to a different church in a different city with a different culture, you're like, you're not quite sure where the intersection of me and what I carry versus, and then like what the Lord, what part of that needs to be released into the life of this local church that I only know like this much of compared to, I know this much of River House, you know? Totally. So yeah, it's been tired. Good. It's been strenuous. There's a grace to it and a call to it. But there's definitely been some, it's been like some sobering moments where I'm like, this is really costly, Lord.
Wow.
So.
Well, we're really grateful that you're saying yes to that call. Yeah. And I appreciate you exposing that even, because I could potentially see in the mind of a skeptic listener, like, is this just Jordan's excuse to have cool vacations to Orange County or something?
Yeah.
Like, classic.
And have you gotten pushback like that?
No, I haven't. I mean, maybe people have thought it, they haven't said it. So thank God. But yeah, it's not vacation.
Yeah.
It's like hard too, because the thing is that things don't slow down here. So I've told you, it almost feels like getting a second job, because you like go and you like do all this. Then you come home and your like list is piled up.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm also in master's right now, in a master's program. So homework, I got homework and papers to write. So yeah, it's been, and you have a 2-year-old always. So, you know, like,
always.
So.
That's so good.
But there's grace. Like, there really is. That's and one of those messages I preached on, like, living on God's time. This is part of like the temptation to feel completely overwhelmed is there, because I feel like God has Jackie and I just at capacity, and it keeps us really dependent, because we will look sometimes and be like, God, like, in the, you know, and this is not even in counting then, you know, the overseas, all the overseas itinerant stuff. And it's like, I don't know how all of this adds up. Like, I don't, you know, because I have this fear too of like, I want to take care of like my own, I am a worshiper before I'm a preacher, you know. It's like in my own practice of the presence of the Lord, in my own devotional life, and then taking care of my body, taking care of my soul, stewarding our marriage, being a good present father, being a good present leader at River House Church. Like, I don't want to forsake our local church. Like, I'm a high responsibility person. And then you have these other things. So we're like, look, and it's like, how is this all going to work, Jesus? And that's where he just has to meet us with peace of like, you have to let go of control. You don't get to figure out. You got to listen really well and obey me. And there's that sense. It's like where I was pouring the sand, you know, into that thing. It's like, that's not going to fit. That's not going to fit. And the Lord's like, no, just, it's not going to fit. And then all of a sudden it's like, it fits. And it's like, okay. You know, like I had a big trip. I was gone 3 weeks in January. We prayed a lot and we just felt like it needed to be this for all the things that we needed to do. I was there to make it worth it. And it was like, we're like, okay, like, is this going to work? You know, we had, Naomi was maybe 18 months old at the time.
Wow.
You know, leaving my wife, leaving Naomi. And it's like, okay, God, like, this is going to work, right? You know, because you're just like, this could be really bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
And there was just so much grace. Like, God met Jackie so powerfully. Like, he gave me grace, her grace. It was like we flourished those 3 weeks. Yeah. And we came back, we're like, I don't know how to describe that outside of that you're blessing our time, you know? And so I say this, obviously, not everybody listening to this is in itinerant and vocational ministry, but like, I think God, like all of us, like responsibilities are high, families are, like life has a way of filling up, but there really is a sense of grace when we listen and obey that like he blesses our time if we'll let him sanctify it.
Mm.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's so good. No,
go for it.
I'm like, I can even see that in my life recently too. It just feels like we are doing too much, but it's like there's no grace to say no to the things that we are doing. And so it just feels like there's these little moments where it's like, oh, life is so good. You know, it's like, oh, there is like a blessing on what we're doing and mm-hmm. all the work or school or, yeah. you know, full-time jobs and all this stuff and family. So that's really good. That's really good. I have a question, but if you have something too.
Oh, go for it. I've been asking all the questions.
Oh, I was curious, after traveling to a handful of churches, are there any like commonalities that like you see the Holy Spirit doing across the country, like at the church at large? Mm-hmm. And is that encouraging? I guess, what are those thoughts of those, if you've seen any of that happen?
Neat.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a, you know, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Southern California and then a few times in Boston, and I'm actually going to be down in the Bible Belt 3 times in the next 6 months, which will be the first time I've ever ministered like Bible Belt proper, which I'm really excited about, mm-hmm. actually. But what I would say, just in like, in even talking with more pastors, even maybe more than, because I don't feel like I have the, you know, been like, oh yeah, I've been to 47 states and let me tell you from my vast, you know, like I still feel like pretty baby in this, to make that clear, like learner, I'm a learner, right?
That's good.
I'm getting my my learning. And, you're like your first license has an L because you're like a learner.
Oh,
so it's
funny.
Like, I have my learner license still.
There you go.
I am by no means like an expert in this, but there's a real hunger for the presence of the Lord. I find that, you know, there's a church I'm going to here in the next couple months that they're just like, we want more of God's presence, and we're trying to figure out how to architect our community for that. So I find that that's a lot of like the draw, at least in what they're, you know, relating to me around and questions around. And I've shared with a number of pastors now, just, you know, what happened with how the fragrance of the Lord's been showing up and these different things. Mm-hmm. And there's just a, like a curiosity and a leaning in and hunger to those types of things, which is really encouraging. And there does seem to be a pretty, a thing around like a real, you know, pure devotion to Jesus and learning how to really worship him in spirit and truth. And then, yeah, so definitely the presence of the Lord. I think there's just a hunger for the presence of the Lord, and how do we create an environment where God's presence is so tangibly felt? Yeah. And always encourages me, you know, that's probably the most encouraging, you know, kind of positive feedback that I feel like we get often with people is, you know, there's criticisms that come even in the same vein as well, but a sense that we steward and host God's presence. So
I've heard people who have traveled with you. I unfortunately haven't gotten the chance yet, but I will soon.
Come on soon.
I've heard people say, you kind of forget the grace that exists on our house, like here in River House. And then you go to another church and you see, wow, Jordan has been anointed to lead our community in this certain way because God's offering this incredible dispensation of whatever, what maybe it's a revelation that we are royal priests or ministry to the Lord, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And you get to go to churches and offer some things that that church might not have as much of a revelation of. That must be really satisfying to think, wow, I actually have been given a gift by God, and now he's asking me to go and share it with these people that haven't received that same gift yet. And in the same way, I'm receiving gifts that God has given that community and bringing them back to River House. I'm wondering, what are some examples of like the gifts that you're imparting and the gifts that you're receiving?
Yeah, that very much happens. And you do get to know yourself better in relationship with other people and other churches and stuff. So that there is kind of a cool quality to that where you define yourself in relationship with other people. So yeah, it's a great question. You know, like an example that I would give for like, we were just with Garden Church the end of May, and like they are so theologically robust, like, you know, And you know, churches take on a lot of the personality of the senior leader, you know, like inevitably in senior leaders, but Darren himself is so theologically robust, and that just permeates their ecosystem. Like, he is brilliant. He has a way of just like scripturally architecting everything. Like it's just incredible. Cool. And so from their worship sets to the way they do house church to their discipleship, it's like, it's just awe inspiring how, beautiful, like the theology it just woven into that. And so we're like in their prayer sets, like everything in that. And then in the liturgies they've created. And so it's like inspiring to me where I, you know, and so then I sit in that environment and then I'm like, wow, like I want all of this. I want to eat it all up and like regurgitate it right back here, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think like then being around then I'm like, okay. And then we have this very like prophetic, our intuitive culture where we've learned to like partner with the Holy Spirit and flow with him and create moments and like tunnel. And you think of some of our worship moments, yeah. like, you know, I don't think people would describe us as like rich theological liturgy, although we're developing some of that, which mm-hmm. you've probably seen, like we did communion this last week in a very liturgical way that I mm-hmm. think the Spirit was breathing on. So you're seeing some of those mesh points yeah. where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. we have this strength where we've really learned how to be intuitively sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But then you see that and you're like, but I want that too, because we want to be Word and Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you get like a vision for it. So you're like, how do I take that and then weave yeah. it into what we're doing? And then you're like, wow, that's dangerous. You know, like that becomes even more potent. Yeah. So like, I think that's a great example, you know? And yeah, I'd say what we've kind of really gone after and built from a, just like a prayer culture and a house of prayer and worship, mm-hmm. what we've built in worship as a worshiping community, mm-hmm. I think is, it's really beautiful. Got to Amen. Disciple that in a few different places. So
when you go, do you, speak, I'm assuming on the Sunday, but then also do you have meetings? Do you typically like speak to the staff at a separate meeting question. Or what other spaces do you find yourself in?
It depends. I've done it like we did with the one church. There's been a couple different churches in California, but we've done it. Well, actually I guess with all of those, we were doing like a staff leadership thing and then like a Sunday thing or whatever. And then, yeah, that actually seems to be the pattern. Like I'm thinking of the next handful that are coming up. It's like usually like go do the Sunday. And then it depending on the size of the church, like sometimes they'll smaller staffs. Yeah. So it'll be like staff and core leaders. Sometimes mm-hmm. if it's a bigger church with a bigger staff, it'll just be with the staff, which I like both spaces a lot. So, but yeah, you know, with the staff, you know, I like it a lot because, you know, they listen to me. They just think that I'm, you know, I'm your expert. Everybody's the expert when you're away from home. You know, yeah. staff here, you guys are all like, yeah, we know, Jordan. We know all your strengths and your weaknesses. They don't know any of my weaknesses. So I just go, and all they see is the strength, you know? So you're just like, yeah. I'm only half kidding.
Yeah,
No, it's actually like, it's kind of beautiful because like, it's the same thing. Like when Julian or Darren come here, like it's funny, like every pastor will say this. They're like the guest preacher will come in, say what you've said 500 times, and everyone's like,
no way.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Is the most revelatory thing. And you're like,
what the heck?
What? You know,
that was literally the title of my last sermon series. 100%,
dude. He stole that from me. You know? I think it's by design. Like,
yeah.
There's just something of we need the outside perspective. It's like it happens in marriage all the time. Mm. Jackie will tell me something so many times, and then Benji, you'll be like, hey, I was praying for you, and the Lord shared this. I'll be like, hon, listen, she'll be like, I have told you that 6 times in the last 2 weeks. Why does it matter when Benji tells you? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. It just does. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
So it's like, it happens all the time. So I actually think it's helping. Yeah.
It's wild. It feels like there's just a lot of checks and like natural checks and balances within the body of Christ that are like made for relationship and community and for...
Yeah.
flexibility that sometimes maybe a denomination doesn't allow for, you know, all these other kind of other systems that we've had, but like, not to say that they're bad, you know, cause they also have, you know, history and stuff too, you know? So I just think it's cool. It's like, we're kind of landing in places that might look similar to, I don't know, church structure that has come before, but it's come through like relational experience. And I don't know, like, I think that's really interesting.
It's so organic.
Yeah.
It's undeniable how Spirit-led it is. Like you keep appealing back to this weekend where you were just in Orange County. That, like if the Lord didn't do that, well, I don't know what you can point to and say. It's just so obvious. Like, God is orchestrating these relationships, mm-hmm. especially when, you know, you follow the train and then point to, like, the building renovation and working with Rodney and just all of the doors that have been open that are now really helping us pave the way for, like, who God is creating our church to be in this next season.
Totally. And yeah, for like you listening, like Julian and Katya felt prompted to gather a group of pastor friends in Boston. We flew out not even knowing what we were going to do. We spent 2 days together, had a conversation with a guy. His name's Josh and Bryn. They're an amazing couple, pastor church a little south of Atlanta, and struck up a relationship. So I'm going to go out there and minister, but they had just finished a building project. They're like, you need to meet, you know, whenever you build a building one day, you need to meet Rodney. Come back from that trip a week, 2 weeks later, all the stuff with the armory goes, like, mm-hmm. yeah, so like literally our builder is because, you know, so
through all these connections.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. It's just like, it's the currency of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's friendship. You know, like you think of like wow. Acts when Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders for the last time, and they are like weeping and kissing each mm-hmm. other. And you're like, that's the glue of the church. It's yeah. like people that love each other so deeply, you know? And so you want that to exist within the community, but like I want this to exist between our community and other communities yeah. and other leaders. And so that's where it's like, I want more, you know, cross-pollinating type experiences, mm-hmm. which just, it yes. gets me so excited because it's so much more fun when we get to do it together.
Hallelujah.
Preach. That's
okay.
So good.
Okay. Here's a question that every now and again comes up like a splinter in my mind. What do you think you would say to a skeptic who's like, all right, cool. I'm getting what you're stepping in. How come all of this can't be true with other churches just around the Boise area? Like, why do we have to travel? Do you have thoughts around that?
It's a great question. I don't know that I have the answer to that. I think I don't see why there's any reason that it couldn't. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's just like how family, like any relationship, you know how you like can't force friendship.
Yeah.
You can't like, I think, but we all have to like get along, you know, but you know how like you'll have a friend group and you're closer to some people, not as close to others. Like you still need to get along with everybody, but there's just something I think of how the Spirit will sovereignly connect. If I were to say, like, just thinking practically, I think that there are sometimes just dynamics, you know, when you're pastoring down the church, there's all like it's just different. There's different levels of awkwardness where you have people that have been in churches and they've left mm-hmm. your church and they've gone to that church. And then sometimes there can be competition stuff that comes up and all of that kind sure. of stuff. So, I think there's just natural things like that that probably tend that way, but I don't think that to me, like,
yeah.
like I would love that would happen to where we end up building more of that. But it does seem that that's not the case always, but I would say, and maybe it's a different type of a relationship like that can be formed with people down mm-hmm. the street from one another. I don't know. Like it's probably something that needs to be explored and teased out, but yeah, I don't necessarily think it has to. I would just say that's kind of how it has happened. It wasn't yeah. like we were looking like it needs to be in California and Boston, you know.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
I wouldn't have ever thought it'd be in Boston. I was like, I didn't even know there were churches of like charismatic churches in Boston, you know what I mean? So
totally.
Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't, we haven't been searching this out as much as we've just been trying to follow where relationships have taken us. Mm. So,
and yeah, it seems like where the Holy Spirit has led.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really clearly. Good. Okay.
So good. I keep thinking about, this trip that Benji and I took to Portland. And we like ended up just meeting some of his friends up there, but I don't know. There was something about that trip that like marked me so much because we got to meet, like in going to meet Benji's friends, we met like other church members and they like were so excited about their church building and took us to see it. And like, there was like, it felt like we were almost like these traveling, you know, Christians. It felt like this like beautiful New Testament thing where we were kind of itinerant mm-hmm. believers going and we like just,
yeah,
it felt like we joined their life and it blessed us and we blessed them. And maybe even question for you, like what, why did that feel different? Did it feel different for you? And like, how can we like even encourage people to have those moments with believers in other places?
Wow.
Cause I feel like that's even the practical way of how this could come downstream a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, golly. I mean, I feel like there are a lot of implications that could make this a lot more complicated than I'm going to make it sound.
Okay.
But to me, it's what I call the communion of the saints. Like what the church, I guess, historically has called the communion of the saints. It feels like family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we experienced when we went to Portland. One of my best friends lives in Portland and is plugged into a wonderful church. And I trust him to be plugged into a wonderful church because I know he's just filled with the Lord. And so we go there and all of his friends are filled with the Lord. And so are we. And we just meet each other like brother and sister.
Yeah.
And it's, oh my gosh, I feel known. I feel like I belong here, even in my spirit, with faces that I've never met before. I've experienced that in London. I went to a church called Holy Trinity Brompton, and I think that was maybe my first experience of a church like that, which is, funny enough, where Alpha was birthed. So shameless plug for Alpha. But when I arrived there, I thought, I'm in a foreign country. I'd know nobody that has ever even attended this church, let alone who goes here now. And I feel like I'm stepping into an extremely familiar family room with people that already love me and whom I'm finding my spirit is already inclined to love.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call that other than the body of Christ. Don't you think?
Yeah. I guess it is as simple as that. And maybe it is even like, I mean, often when I do travel, I don't go to a church if I'm away on a Sunday, you know, and not to say that, I don't know. I'm kind of pondering like maybe I should do that more often. Just
you're such a heathen.
Go, dude. Yeah. Oh. Go
ahead. Forsaking the gathering.
I've been that forsaking the communion too. Of saints, but I'm like, there's something about that, that like, even in our travels, you know, to find other believers, and hopefully you're going and meeting family or friends that are believers as well. But I don't know. That's just something that's kind of ringing in my ears now.
I think it's just part of that. It's the body of Christ, and it was well said. There's just something about, you know, when you meet new things, it's like new gifts, and there's a pleasure that comes in offering Christ in you to other people, you know, and letting your gifts express, you know, and like we've had actually some people I know even within the prophetic community that the Lord spoke to them, like to go to a city, like just go and pray for the city and walk the streets and be there and just take a weekend. And, you know, so like this is in the waters of the church. And I think we need to be open to stuff like that, because there is something of like, we're called to disciple nations, like to change the world. And sometimes he sends us places, sometimes he doesn't, you know, but like when he does, go. And it's been really cool, like taking teams. A lot of the ministry, like every once in a while, it's from the stage when I get to take people, but I've had trips where up to like 8 people have come, and most of it's like not any ever in a microphone, ever from a stage. It's actually just rubbing shoulders with the church. Mm. And like, we're there. I always tell people, like, we're there to wash feet, take your towel, get ready to serve, bless, edify, encourage, pour out. And like, people are like, it's like people just get alive.
Wow.
And I've heard this so many times, be like, I didn't realize how much I'm carrying.
Oh, wow.
Like we get almost overly familiar even here with this environment. Yeah. And I think the Lord uses the new to kind of wake us up to like, I need to quit being so like familiar with all of this. Like the Spirit of God is inside of me. The kingdom of God's been advancing every single day. He is on the edge of his seat waiting to move, you know? And so my hope is that the more that we go as a community, because there's a grace in the going, is that it actually starts to infect our whole community, where we're like, we're always going, because I want us to start going out to different parts of our city that we never go to. Because we get into our own little drives and routines here. Like, go somewhere, go to the skate park and just see what happens. Yeah. Like, go on a date night downtown with dinner, but like, look for divine appointments. You know, like, we got to just be like awake to this, because it's the most, like, I'll share this. Jackie was flying, our nephew was getting christened. Jackie's family is Catholic. So they get christened at like, is it 1 year old? Yeah, he's turning one.
Okay.
So she was flying on her first flight to Minneapolis. This is just last week. And the guy's getting to sit next to her. She might be mad if I tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So don't tell my wife, listeners. The guy's like, basically sits down and he's like, "Hey, I just want you to know, like, I am in horrible pain. I spent the night in the ER in Boise. My two vertebrae on my back are out of place. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this flight. And if I start having an episode, like, I'm mentally okay, but like, it's because I'm in so much pain." Whoa. So he's like, not okay.
Oh my
like,
goodness.
Very not okay. She's like, "Well, can I pray for you?" He gets radically healed, touched by the Holy Spirit.
Way.
All the pain goes, and she just starts discipling him, like, prophetically by the Spirit for like 2 hours. I FaceTimed her. I just happened to FaceTime her at the end of the call. He goes, can I hold your phone? He takes the phone. He's like, "Your wife is the most amazing human being I've ever met in my life." He's like, "I got healed, man." He starts telling me the whole story. He's still been texting her. He's like, "My wife is sobbing. I'm telling her what happened." He's like, "I'm on fire for God. I've been lukewarm. I'm giving my life all like this is just from like one plane ride." And like, you know, Jackie and I were just talking about this last night. She's like,
"Wow,
how many of these have I missed?"
Whoa,
because I haven't been looking and expecting for the kingdom of God to break in. This is what this apostolic sending is meant to wake us all up to. This is what we are getting discipled into. This is what I want to permeate the whole church, is like, God is on the move, and to join him, you have to move.
Whoa.
Oh,
that is so cool.
Wow. If that didn't just really beautifully like wrap up the vision of what's happening here.
Yeah.
I don't know what will.
Just drop the mic.
I'm sure there's some, I don't know plants, but I'm sure there's some kind of biology to like, if something from an ecosystem only exists within itself and never cross pollinates with something else, then it won't thrive as well. That's where the word cross-pollination comes from. Mm-hmm. We need to like mix.
Yep.
And when Julian and Katya were here, the glory of the Lord fell in a way that it never had before at Riverhouse, in a way that I've never experienced in my whole life. And then when you went to the table, were you with Jackie and Britt maybe after that?
Jackie, Brittany, and a few others, yeah.
What kind of things happened then when you were at the table?
Similar things happened. The oil started coming on hands, and that fragrance, that kind of cotton candy like fragrance, manifested. And yeah, and then we went to Garden, and then a few weeks after we were there, it happened in their Sunday night service. And so it's like a chain reaction. And like, I would give honor, like Julian and Katya came and broke something open in our church. Like, but then you see how sticky it is, where it still shows up here from time to time without them. So it's this weird thing where God, we honor the vessels, but it is Jesus, but he uses vessels, but you see the chain reaction. And then like, you know, and now God's going to use us to go places to open things up because we carry, but you see how it's like it's like, to me, this is inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Like what God gives us is meant to be shared. And then we all become this family that's richly endowed with the inheritance from a good father, because my inheritance, I actually am designed by God to share with you, and your inheritance is meant to be shared with me. And then we get to go and we're part of this global family that we get to share inheritance. Wow. And so it's like, it's such a gift.
Oh, isn't this fun?
Wow. Yeah. It's so good.
I'm so grateful to be a part of this church.
Me too.
And
me too. Man.
I also like, personally, every time that I have a conversation with you, Jordan, I just get so fired up. I like trust your leadership more. I see the anointing of the Lord on you. I see how like submitted you are to the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you in your life. Like I know those things. And then when I hear you talk, it just becomes more evident in a way that I'm like, I know them even deeper.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that we have this platform to be able to give an opportunity like that to the listeners of it. Cause I think this will really inspire every listener. Not that listeners need to start flying around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you said, we need to have fresh faith, to have fresh eyes and ears to the leading of the Lord in our daily lives, so that we might be awakened to all that God wants to do in our lives. Do you feel like that's a good takeaway for a listener?
Absolutely. Yeah. Is like, let's be with ears like Philip, like, and just, and like expect the invitation. Like I loved Jacob Roinus's message, how he ended it was like, it's an invitation. You know, what did he say? He was at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And he felt the invitation to go sit with those, I think, homeless individuals. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But like, I had ears to hear. So it's like, mm-hmm. would we have ears to hear and a heart to obey these promptings that might seem silly sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Yeah.
It's almost like, quit asking why and just do it. Put your Nikes on and just do it.
Shameless plug. This is an unsponsored.
We have an unofficial
podcast.
Sponsor yeah. from yeah. Nike Footwear.
Okay. Yeah. You can come back on every week.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I'll love you guys. This is such a joy. You guys are amazing. You're creating a space that's edifying our community. So I know the listeners are blessed.
Praise God.
You guys are wonderful gifts to our community. Truly.
Thanks, Jordan. So good.
It's a joy to offer it.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, my guys.
Yeah. Anyway, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Come on. That was fun, guys. Thank you for listening to the Deep Waters Podcast, a ministry of River House in Boise, Idaho.
Our mission for this podcast is to platform people and stories from our community that inspire transformational discipleship so that we might be catalyzed into lives of incarnational faith in King Jesus.
If you have comments, questions, or concerns, or recipes you'd like to share with us, please send them to deepwaters@riverhouseministries.com. And if you'd like to join us at Riverhouse for worship on Sundays, we meet at the Vineyard Boise at 4 p.m. We'd love to see you there.
We cannot do this podcast without a little help from our friends.
Our theme music was written and recorded by the Riverhouse Worship Team. Special thanks to Isaiah Guerrero for our artwork.
We're your co-hosts, Benjamin Olson
and Jace Langley.
I write the show notes.
And I edit this bad boy.
And we pray this podcast serves you on your journey of discipleship to Jesus.
May Christ be with you wherever you go.